Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Love Women, the show where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their souls. I am your host, Monica Vigil. Now, you've probably heard of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, collectively referred to as STEM. The U.S. Department of Education has recognized STEM as critical skills and careers that a thriving society needs. After all, without innovators, educators, researchers, and critical thinkers, how is a nation supposed to advance? Well, despite our country obviously needing as many people in STEM as we can get, these are fields where women are incredibly outnumbered by men. Only about 18% of computer science college degrees go to women. And according to a 2017 report by the U.S. Department of Commerce, women with STEM degrees are actually less likely to end up with a STEM job, unlike their male counterparts. So, how do we as members of society strive toward gender diversity in STEM? Is it rocket science? Well, sometimes it is. Let's talk to a woman who has cleared the way for young girls looking to get into STEM by already walking the path. Olympia Lapointe is an award-winning rocket scientist, author, and TED speaker. She is also an educator right here at Pierce College, so if you're a student listening, you may want to sign up for her math class.
Hi, Olympia. Thank you so much for being here.
I am excited to be on your show today.
I'm excited to have you.
That was just a wonderful introduction, by the way.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. When did you know you wanted to be a scientist?
Oh my God, that's a loaded question. Do you know what? When I remember the earliest time of counting in numbers, it was actually with my grandfather. My grandfather was a person that worked in Pasadena, and he was a janitor. And he always stressed about getting the importance of education. And he was an immigrant, actually. And it was amazing because he was the one that taught me how to count. He's a 1, 2, 3. He would show the number of cars that were out, and then he'd ask me to count the number of doors that the cars had. And so I always loved counting because it was with my grandfather. My grandfather passed away when I was 4. And then when I was 6 years old, something amazing happened. I went to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, the same area where he had worked. It was a janitor for years, but now he was no longer here on this planet. And I remember going to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and I remember seeing the jets, and I remember seeing those engines, and I remember just being fascinated with just how huge they were. And I was a small little person, and I remember looking through the school bus window, and I remember thinking, wow, those engines are huge. And then we went into the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and that's where we saw their mission control. And every single aerospace company that supports launches have their own mission control. And this mission control was this dark room, and it was extremely dark, and they had all these big TV screens on the wall. And it actually looked like flat screen TVs that we have here today, and that was the technology back then. And it was amazing because I saw these pictures of these men launching rockets that were on the wall, and I told myself I wanted to be just like those men. But I didn't know that I was a woman, and I didn't know that I wasn't anything like the men that I saw in the photos. All I knew is what they were doing is what I wanted to do. And that is what triggered my interest in science, technology, engineering, mathematics. But it wasn't necessarily an easy road.
What was your experience like getting there?
Oh my God.
As a woman of color.
Oh my gosh. What area and level do you want to tackle today? How long is this show? Oh my gosh. It's amazing because I had to tackle three areas. The first area is myself. I had to tackle the fears that I had myself. I had to remove the fears that I unknowingly accumulated over all these years after going through such difficult situations that I labeled it on myself. The second thing that I had to do is I had to retrain the way that I was thinking about how I could be a significant force within a male-dominated world. It was not easy, but I had to recognize what I could bring to the table as a woman that men could not do. And I think the third thing was I had to realize that just because I went into one field with science, it didn't mean I had to stay there. It meant that I still had the aptitude and the capability to move forward in applying the science and the technology, engineering, mathematics in a way that was going to help myself and other people in innovative ways. And it not necessarily be rocket science, but it could be all sorts of different areas. And that's what I talk about in my latest book, Answers Unleashed, the science of unleashing your brain's power, is I apply the same math and science that I use to reprogram my own brain and rewire my own brain and apply it to a theory of how the brain could possibly work. So people can be innovative not only in science, but innovative in their lives too. So, yeah.
Do you remember ever being discouraged from pursuing a STEM or being treated differently than the men you studied alongside with?
Yes. Surprisingly enough, it never happened. This is the wackiest part about it all. I won awards launching rockets, and it was a huge awards, national awards for launching rockets. But people don't know I failed algebra, I failed geometry, failed calculus, and
what?
Failed chemistry. And this is, I know, it gives people hope, huh? this was 8th grade, I failed algebra. 9th grade, I failed geometry. Had to take geometry over. And then failed chemistry, had to take that over. And then failed calculus. And it wasn't until a calculus teacher pulled me, and he basically told the entire class, anyone who wants to come for their education to study for the AP exam during the winter break, they're welcome to come. However, you had to get to the campus during the winter break when the campus was not open, but he was going to volunteer his time. And I thought everyone was going to go, and I just went on my own, and I was the only person that showed up. And that was the most brilliant time, because that's when I realized that I had fears that I faced. And I talk about this in my first book, Mathophobia. It's the first fear that people have when they do mathematics or science is Quincy the quitter. They'll quit before they even try. The second type of fear that people will have is they'll be Donner the overdoer. They'll try and still miss the mark. And this is, you've seen this, like, for example, it doesn't just have to be in mathematics. It could be in real life. Have you ever seen, like, a man call a woman and she doesn't respond to him? That's like Donner the overdoer, but in a male form. You know, there is... Samuel the Struggler, he sees things maybe backwards, is dyslexic or has a learning disability or has a different way that he sees things. He's really a genius in disguise and people don't know about it. And the last person is Crystal the Criticizer. She'll point fingers at everyone. And I realized that I was Quincy the Quitter all in
Sounds
high
like
school.
Me too. Yeah, just fear-driven.
Fear. That's when that fear is just trying to take over the brain. And surprisingly enough, all through high school, even though I failed all those courses, I never encountered anything of you can't do it because you're a woman. It wasn't until I went to college that happened. And this is what really put me on trajectory towards science, because I remember failing in high school, being tutored by the professor at the time, or the teacher at the time at the school, and then boosting up my confidence in deciding to major in math as a one of the very few women in color. Do you know the statistic back in 20 years ago, and this is 20 years ago, was 1 out of 31,000 African-American women or women of color get a PhD in math or the sciences. So it was like better chance of being hit by lightning almost, you know, but that was the probability then. And then when I went to college, this is what happened. I remember going to college excited that I chose math. I was a mathematics tutor at California State University, Northridge, where I was thankful to go to school. And I walked into this class. It was my sophomore year. I walked into this class, and there was all these guys in the class. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. And I just go in there, and I wasn't sure if it was the right class, because it was right after the earthquake, and we were all in trailers. The entire campus was in trailers, because there was the buildings were literally collapsed, and we were going to this earthquake destroyed campus and taking classes in trailers, and there was no number on the trailer. So I looked and I asked him, like, is this, and before I could even ask if it was the right class, someone said, and one of the guys said, I think you have the wrong class. This is calculus 3. I don't think this is the class you're looking for. And I think, and then I thought, this is a class I'm supposed to be in. Who are you? I mean, that's what I was thinking in my head. But I was like, ugh, right? I got mad. I got mad inside. And I thought to myself, who in the world does this guy think he is, right? But then, I don't know what happened. That kind of lit a fire underneath me. And I said, all right, I'm the only woman in this class. They're not expecting me to be here. I'm going to ace it, and I'm going to be at the top. And I sure was. I was at the top of the class. I aced it. And then throughout my career there at California State University, I became one of the top students, not only in mathematics, but out of a 6,500 graduating class. And I graduated in 1998 from the campus in mathematics. And I'm actually thankful for that opportunity to walk into that class with all those guys there, because I realized that was the first realization where I've got to really execute and I've got to really prove myself, because people are not expecting me to be there. And so why not throw them for a loop? That's what I decided to do.
You turned that into a fuel for your fire.
Fuel.
Let's talk about your radio show that you have here at kpcradio.com, Tuesdays at 2. You're in your fifth season of Answers Unleashed. Yeah. How did you start doing that show? That was before I was here.
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking. And by the way, if you guys don't know, Monica over here oversees this season, and her team over here is just a wonderful, wonderful
Thank
group.
You.
I so love working with you guys. Oh my God, I wish I could work with you like forever.
Thank you. This is
wonderful. Do you know what? It was like the craziest thing. I had wrote the book Mathophobia. I did the TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear. And one of the people that was here at the radio show on campus saw my TED Talk. And he had asked for my book, the Mathophobia book. And I gave him the Mathophobia book. And he was taking statistics at the time. And he had failed. He was failing statistics. And he read the book. And he ended up passing statistics. And he's like, other people need to know what you talk about. Because that book, it's a math book. And none of it, the entire book, the 209 pages has nothing to do. Has no math in it. It's all psychological.
Reprogramming
your brain about understanding the math and science. So I had to delve into my brain, delve into other people's brain to be able to write that book. And I ended up writing the second book, Answers Unleashed, about how to reprogram and rewire your brain based on painful memories. So he had taken this book and he's like, other people need to know about it. And he's like, well, will you consider doing a show here since you already are working here? Will you think about doing a show? I'm like, he's like, you could do a math show. I'm like, math show? Would people even tune into that? I was thinking to myself, well, I'm not quite sure it would be that interesting And I thought about it, sat about it. And I'm like, is this a good idea? And I realized, what would people know me to do? If I didn't do a show that was based on math, what would I do? And I'm like, what am I known to do? And everyone knows me for finding the answers. That's what a math teacher does. Oh, what's the answer? I'm like, all right, so people know me as finding the answer of mathematics. People know me in rocket science to find the answer. What should we do? You know, how should we launch this? And I'm like, what is it that I do? And I'm like, well, I give people answers, but how does that work? I mean, I don't want to give the people answers. They really have the answers themselves. I just guide them to it. And I'm like, Answers Unleashed. And so that's when we started to create the show. And the show is designed to help people reshape their brain with science and faith. And then faith is the ability to be able to see something before it exists, to have that knowledge, that deep, just deep knowledge, deeper than your DNA, to know that no matter what happens, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And scientists do this when they create those big rockets. They need to see the invention before it's created. The technology people that create the apps or create the cell phone, like for example, Bell Labs in 1932 created the cell phone prototype, but they didn't have the technology then to do it, but they had that vision. that faith part of the brain is responsible not only for helping us get through tough situations in spiritual situations or religious situations, it's also helpful for getting us through scientific problem-solving situations too. So I merged the two in the show Answers Unleashed here at kpcradio.com so people can know that they can find the answers and unleash the answers in their own life. And so that's how that came about.
And you've done it for 5 seasons. Now this is your 5th season.
Yeah.
And you're starting a TV show?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. This weekend is the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. It's held every year. And for the last several years, it's been held over at the USC campus. And it is where authors, celebrity authors, well-known authors, as well as petite authors, in the sense of publishing companies, and the media comes to be able to highlight these experts. And so I am invited there tomorrow. I'm so thankful. And tomorrow, what is this? I'm invited there Saturday, the 21st, April 21st, as well as Sunday, April 22nd, to the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books, where I will be signing books and giving autographs. And I just thought that people need to see things. We're in an age where people learn not only through audio, like the radio here, but they're very visual. This is an age where it's sound, there's vision, there's images. It's that type of spark that comes in the brain when people learn things. And so I thought to myself, why not create a TV show based on the radio show that started here, based on the book that came about from the radio show, based on both of those things, why not actually highlight some of this stuff through video? And so this Saturday is when we're going to be filming the first episode of Answers Unleashed. And it is about an episode for people to understand the importance of education through books and how to research and how to find out from authors and credible people, what's the truth, what's not the truth. And I'll be highlighting different organizations that are there. The Southern California Book Publicist Club will be there, and I'll be highlighting different authors from there. There are so many people there at the event. There's Los Angeles Times that will be there. And so I'll be pulling people out that are guests and asking them to speak on film about what's their favorite book or how do they think that their brain has been reprogrammed after reading a certain book. And it's going to be a really exciting show to just inspire all ages to understand the importance of education, to understand the importance of books, and understand the importance of always educating yourself no matter what age you are at.
And what are your goals with this show in terms of where do you want to see it go and grow?
Do you know what? I see it on a major channel. It's kind of, I've really produced this not only for an educational show, like, remember all the different shows that will come on PBS?
But I love PBS. Well, yeah. PBS Kids, because I have a child.
Yeah. I like PBS. But with a spark to it. And so I thought to myself, this show is, like, a phenomenal. And so we're going to start off on the rep first. We are looking to get on major networks. So if you know a major network out there, like OWN or there's like so many different networks, or NBC even, of getting out there and talking with people and finding out what happens. I love different that. Oprah Winfrey has been doing shows for such a long time, and I admire her because she started out with nothing similarly, and she built her Harper Productions and created that. And I look at that and I think to myself, if she can do that, so can I. And my desire is to grow an educational corporation of media broadcasting so people can really understand that. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens with this show, and tune in on AnswersUnleashed.com and you'll see the show and find out all about the podcast too.
Yeah, so Oprah is obviously someone who's very inspiring. I'm wondering, are there any women in your life that inspired you through this journey?
My mom. And Jane Pinkerton. You're like, who's Jane Pinkerton? my mother is, I'm thankful because she is a person that she's one of these really strong women. And she was not formally educated for most of her life. She went back to school after she had kids to go back, and she went and earned her associate's in arts degree. And it was amazing because she would take me to class with her, and she'd have me sit in the back. And that's where I really understood the power of education, is because I saw my mother being educated. And I thought to myself, I want to be able to do things like this for people like my mom. You know, it doesn't matter what age you're at. And so I remember going to school with her and just looking at what she was doing. And it was so amazing. She was learning. And I always looked at her, and she always told us, she said, and we grew up in poverty. It was really, really tough. And she looked at us and she says, I don't want you to go through this. I don't want you to struggle to see how, I don't want you to be in a situation, and I want you to see what I'm going through so you don't have to struggle. So she told us, no matter what we do, we have to get an education so we can change your life. And I really held on to that. I'm out of all my sisters, I'm the one that really paid attention to what she said, and I see how my life has differed and changed because of the fact that I didn't get education. I think part of it was she pulled me to that class so I could see it. And later on, I ended up going to college, majoring in mathematics, and the only job I could get was a math tutoring job, and I was hired by Jane Pinkerton. The first job I ever had in my life was an education job. And it was in 1993. I was a mathematics tutor. And I did not understand mathematics because I had failed all those classes before. I have to chuckle and laugh about this because I launched rockets. And I think to myself, I got through that. Yeah. Well, she went in, she hired me. And when she hired me, it was like, and I asked her directly, do you want me to be in this lab? I don't know this stuff. And she did something that you would be shocked that an employee would do. She looked at me and she said, that's okay. Sit with each student and read the book with them. She walked off. And that was my instruction, to read the book and relearn it with people. And I found myself understanding the math with the person that I was with. And the person that would ask me, how do I do this problem? And I'd look at them and I'd say, I don't know. I got to read your book with you. And they thought I was joking. But I was completely serious. And I said, I don't know. Let's read the book. And so we read the book together and we really learned books. And so I probably read a good 200 books sitting with the students over those time frames, understanding the mathematics and seeing how to read technical books. And she passed away. And she passed away when I was an undergraduate. And I will always remember her because she gave me an opportunity to learn. And because of that opportunity, I'm here today. Yeah.
Olympia, what do you think we as a society are doing wrong? Why are there not as many women in STEM as there should be? It's 50% of the population.
Three things. We're not teaching mathematics in a way where it's a language. Every other country that you go to, you see mathematics and understand mathematics as a language. And here in this country is the only place that doesn't exist. And the reason why I say that, I speak with authority because when I graduated and was in graduate school, I was only the American in my graduate school class. And this was over at California State University, Northridge. And I had the opportunity to study with people from Iran and people from Russia and then people from China and India. And I realized the way that mathematics is taught here in the United States is not a language. And people are taught here in the United States to calculate with a calculator, not with their head, not with their hands, not with their pencil. And that main difference was what mentally distinguished the excelling students that were from foreign countries versus the people here in the United States. So that's number one. Number two, there needs to be a higher number of women in science being seen in the media. We're so accustomed to seeing singers in the media. We're so accustomed to seeing the dancers in the media. And don't get me wrong, I love some of the performers that are out here because they're very entertaining and the singers are amazing. But at the same time, we need to as a society start emphasizing women in technology, and it doesn't matter what your color is. We did a first step with that with the movie Hidden Figures, with the real life historical accounts of three African-American women in the space race in the 1960s, and that was a great start. However, I'm here as a person who will help bring that to the forefront of science and women and people who are doing great things in this world. And I'm really happy the Hidden Figures movie came out, because it gives me an opportunity to carry on the legacy in a way that we see more women who are smart in the media.
You must have really seen yourself. That was really your story. You know, like, you're a female black rocket scientist.
It was exactly my story. When I watched it, I remember crying, thinking to myself, oh my God, I went through the same thing that she went through. And I went through it 30 years later, and it hadn't changed much. Almost, it hadn't changed much at all. And I remember watching that movie, and I remember just at that, after seeing that movie, I wrote the review on the Huffington Post when I was writing on the Huffington Post. And I stayed up all night. I was just so touched by the movie. I stayed up all night to share my experience and share how it hadn't changed, and how there's people like myself who's just determined to make that change. The third thing that we need to do is start investing in education. Investing in it. Investing in the public stations, the public, the PBS, the public broadcasting stations. Invest in educational programs that are on the web. I think there could be a higher number of corporations. If corporations really want to do something, what they can do is invest in science and technology and engineering and mathematics education, and put their money where their mouth is. If we want to see a change of society, if you want to see a change in the number of people who are unemployed, start training them in science. That is the way that changes people's lives around completely. And I speak from authority, because that's what happened in my life. Because someone introduced me to science and technology, engineering, mathematics at an early age, I was able to take a poverty-stricken situation and turn it around so I could create something for myself. And that same problem-solving ability lives in each one of us. But when we can take hold of a problem and shift it, and so we can find the answer, that's when we succeed.
Olympia, as the show winds down, I'm going to ask you some quick-fire questions.
This is going to be fun.
What are you proudest of?
My degree, my bachelor's degree. That was like, quick fire. My bachelor's degree. I am so proud I got a bachelor's degree. It's not even launching rockets. The fact that I got a bachelor's degree, where that's an accomplishment. I don't care how many rockets I launch. I don't care about the radio show, in the same regards of knowing that I got my bachelor's degree. And to me, that's most important.
What do you love most about being a woman?
I can be sexy. I love being sexy and feminine. You can be sexy and feminine, and I think that is something that people, sexy, feminine, and smart. And people don't necessarily see that going hand to hand, and I love that. I love bringing the fact that I am feminine to the table. Yeah.
Do you believe in fate?
Yes, 100%. And actually, mathematically, it's chaos theory. Chaos theory is the type of mathematics that describes how fate happens. So if you want to check out mathematics, it's called chaos theory. And I actually have a video on answersunleashed.com/live lectures that talks about that.
Finish the sentence. I knew I was on the right path when...
Oh, that's one. I knew I was on the right path when I looked up and saw people cry. When I chose to speak about my situation and how I, in my entire life, why I've had to overcome so many situations. I didn't know whether or not I was cut out to be a professional speaker. And then when I looked up, someone came to me and they were crying, I knew that I couldn't remain silent anymore. So that was when I knew I was on the right path of being a professional speaker.
I love
God.
I am afraid of
not living up to what it is that I can do.
My advice to young girls is?
My advice to young girls is simple. There'll be a whole lot of boys interested in you, and that's great. Focus on yourself. Focus on your own life. Focus on your education and get an education and your bachelor's and master's degree, no matter what. And if guys are meant to be in your life, they'll support you while you're doing it.
Thank you so much for being on my show, Olympia. This was so fun.
I am honored to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
And to the listeners at home, thank you for tuning into this episode of Love Women, the show where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their souls. Join me next week, where I'll be interviewing a high school student who has already made the moves to reach her goal of opening her own law firm. Until next time, I am Monica Vigil, and you're listening to KPCRadio.com.